Bonjour and hello. Welcome to Northern Voices, celebrating ties to Minnesota's Northland. I'm Leah Lem, your host and a fellow Northlands explorer. As a recent transplant to Grand Rapids, Minnesota, from the Twin Cities, I love diving into the beauty that surrounds me. I no longer have to seek out nature, I'm in it. In the last year, I've chopped wood for the first time, spent hours researching generators, and now I even own a pair of steel-toed boots. But the people I've met are incredibly helpful, with advice and insights that this city girl could never realize on her own. Now that my family has a little bit of land, we want to make sure that we're good stewards, that we treat it right and allow it to provide for us. More and more of what we do daily has a direct connection to the land. I wake up and monitor the prairie river that runs gently along our property. We check for animal tracks around the house, and now my spouse and I get to teach our 5-year-old son how to stack wood, all while learning this for ourselves. And the community we're now a part of is ready with gardening, composting, fishing advice, among many other nuances about living in the country. These episodes, these conversations, are my way of learning even more about the traditions, sustainable practices, and indigenous ways of life of my new neighbors. Today's episode, I talk with partners Lori Benge and Brad Jones. Lori is a public health nurse with Itasca County. Brad is a natural resources instructor at Itasca Community College. They live and work on their own farm. And like me, they had a learning curve of their own. I arrive at Lori and Brad's farm during chore time. The temp is in the single digits, but my winter boots and 3 layers of pants are holding up against the cold and wind. Lori greets me, and we head straight to the barn, where a few steer and a bull are waiting for their dinner.
Brad moved here in 91, and I moved here in 92. So, 28 and 27 years. Mm-hmm. The west border of the land is the Swan River. I love the idea of being on a river.
Lori moves around comfortably and expertly in the barn's highest spots, navigating tricky footings in the hay piles. I must admit, this is the first time I've ever attempted to conduct an interview, or anything really, in a hayloft, and I'm a bit unsure of my footing, and my big boots don't help. But I find a good balancing spot, and I hold on. Lori tells me a bit about the farm's previous owners, the woman whose family got it up and running.
Her parents built the farm, and then she lived here with her husband. I gotta climb up there. Her parents had farmed here, and then she and her husband had farmed here. He had a sawmill here. I believe originally it had been a logging camp in this area.
Luckily, Lori is very efficient at feeding the animals in this particular barn, so I'm able to climb down. Next, we join Brad Jones in the barn with the calves and their mothers, and I get a few more facts and figures about the farm.
And we've had 2 skunks in the barn.
Mm. Yes.
Smells wonderful.
The full deal, huh? Hi.
Hi. This is Brad. This is
Hi,
Leah.
Hi, Brad. I'm Leah.
And the babies. This one is named E.B. White. Stand. We try to do this system with the mothers. The first letter of the mother's name is the how we name a calf. And this is Latch. She had this calf, Lincoln.
We live about 15 miles, almost straight east of Grand Rapids. So we have about 80 acres and farm a few other places as well.
Lori and Brad do chores on the farm in the mornings and evenings, caring for and feeding the animals. Alarms get set for some time in the 4 a.m. hour. I can tell they have so much joy in what they do. I get the rundown on the names and personalities of many of the animals, and the work they do on the farm reaches out into the neighboring community. When the time comes, they provide beef from their farm to customers in the area.
Well, they're actually slaughtered right here on the farm, so we have a butcher come in, and he will kill them and take them out. We take them out quartered, so they leave here with the hides and feet off. Is kind of the process, and then we take it to Four Seasons Meat, who does the butchering up, and they custom cut it to what a customer might want. Four Seasons is in Coleraine. It's real close. It works out really well for us.
We also visit the chickens. Their food comes from a feed service and the grain grown on the farm.
Well, this is whole wheat, and the chickens, you know, eat that. It's really a high protein wheat, so we grow a high protein wheat, and then the oats.
While the chickens are being fed, I notice something straggly and fibrous looking hanging from the wall. It kind of looks like dried strips of fabric. When I inquire, Brad and Lori kind of stop and tell me simply that they're cow lungs. It's a good source of protein for the chickens. My personality is more one of curiosity and appreciation, and I don't get grossed out too easily. But in the moment, I can't help but start singing a brief snippet from the famous Lion King song, Circle of Life. Every part of the cow is being put to use. A part is now giving life to chickens. I would have never guessed at using cow lungs for chicken food, given an entire lifetime. But this type of work is familiar to both Lori and Brad.
I grew up as a young child on a farm. I remember the beef cattle coming in. That's when I was really young. The old traditional farm where you grew the things you ate and you sold a few cash crops and that kind of thing. You know, one of the reasons I went into forestry was it was a job that I could do in a rural area.
Similarly for Lori's family.
It goes back for generations. I think I was meant to be on a farm on both my mom and my dad's side. I grew up in southern Minnesota, and my mom is still living on the farm that my dad's parents farmed. So my grandparents, I didn't know them, but they bought the farm like in the early 1900s, and she's still living there, so it's good.
I'm talking with Lori Benj and Brad Jones, and they're showing me how working the land is a tradition in their families that they're carrying on.
And I think that to some degree, we both feel like owning land like this, owning property, you know, you feel like you should provide something from that. So, you know, provide something to society. And so, you know, growing food and growing food for ourselves, but growing food for others as well is a part of that, I guess.
As I mentioned in the beginning, we all have learning curves to deal with. I'm in the beginning of mine, but Lori and Brad have figured many things out along their farming journey.
The first time we harvested, there were a group of friends that came over to help us harvest, and we didn't know what we were doing. We had, you know, like the big sai, like the big handle, the big wooden handle, and it was just a small field along the driveway. And we were out there. There were a couple of us with scissors. We had sais. I mean, it was just like any tool we could find to try to cut some wheat and bundle it up. And I think we took it to the blackberry threshing show and put it through a threshing machine and got a bag of wheat out of it and made bread and had everyone over to have bread again. That was the beginning of our harvesting. Now we have a combine.
It was pretty challenging to do that.
That's a long process.
You really have a sense for what pioneers maybe went through when they, you know, would go out and sow a 10-acre field of wheat. I mean, it's a bit of effort.
I feel like it's become a big part of how we connect in the community with coworkers. You know, even as simply as bringing in eggs and produce, and I feel like it's become our identity over the years.
As I return to my home with a dozen fresh eggs from the farm, I'm thinking about how heartfelt and caring both Lori and Brad are with the animals, how excitedly they spoke about their quirks and personalities. My dog Coda, a black Labrador retriever mix, greets me at my door, and I note her quirks and personality, how she never tires while playing fetch, how she's my shadow throughout the day, following me as I complete daily chores and work at my desk, and how she stretches out on the floor in any amount of sunbeam, large or tiny. She loves all the smells on me as I walk in the door. We both got a lot out of today's visit. Thank you, Lori and Brad, for welcoming me to your farm. I'm Leah Lem. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Northern Voices. Northern Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota. Musical Flourishes brought to you by Sam Miltich. Gigawabamin and see you soon.